Welcome to the My Virtual HR Radio Show with your host, Robert Redden. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support for smaller businesses in England and Wales.
Hello and welcome to the first show this year of the My Virtual HR Radio Show. In this show, I will be taking a retrospective view of the 10 most significant employment case law judgments for employers in 2015, the effects of some of which are just beginning to be felt. Key judgments in 2015 included cases on working time, whistleblowing, holiday pay, annual leave during sickness absence, redundancy consultations, disability discrimination, and the role of HR in disciplinary proceedings. I will be counting down from number 10 to number 1, so here we go. At number 10 is Coles and the Ministry of Defence. This was a rare appellate decision under the Agency Workers Regulations 2010. It deals with a common scenario of agency workers seeking a permanent job with the end user. Under the regulations, agency workers have the right to be informed by the hirer of any relevant vacant posts to give that agency worker the same opportunity as a comparable worker to find permanent employment with the hirer. The Employment Appeal Tribunal confirmed that the law is limited to a right to information about relevant vacancies and does not require equality of opportunity during the selection process with internal applicants who are permanent members of staff. At number 9 is Swansea University Pension and Assurance Scheme and Williams. Why does a case about a technical issue on the meaning of unfavourable treatment under the disability discrimination legislation merit a place in the top 10? This was one of the first appeal decisions on what is now a common disability discrimination claim, that is, discrimination arising from disability under Section 15 of the Equality Act 2010. This section makes it unlawful for an employer to treat an employee unfavourably because of something arising in consequence of disability. This decision opened the door to a flood of similar claims. However, an employer can successfully defend a claim if it can justify the unfavourable treatment on the basis that it was a proportionate means of achieving a legitimate business aim. At number 8 is Stevens and the University of Birmingham. The issue of the right to be accompanied at disciplinary and grievance hearings returned with a bang in 2015. In this High Court case, the Court accepted Mr. Stevens' argument that his employer breached its implied duty of trust and confidence when he was not allowed to be accompanied at a disciplinary investigation by his choice of companion. This High Court decision opens a new route for employees who are unhappy with any limits that employers place on their choice of companion at disciplinary and grievance meetings. At number 7 is Griffiths and the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions. This was a case about disability discrimination, in which the Court of Appeal ruled that the duty to make reasonable adjustments will normally be engaged in a case where a disabled employee has disability-related absences that trigger the application of an attendance policy. However, the Court of Appeal dismissed the appeal on the ground that on the particular facts of this case, the adjustments sought were not reasonable. At number 6, Plum and Duncan Print Group Limited. How annual leave accrued during a period of sickness absence should be dealt with is an issue that just will not go away. One of the key areas of dispute has always been how long workers on long-term sick leave can carry over their holiday. In this case, the Employment Appeal Tribunal held that where an employee chooses not to take statutory annual leave during sick leave, he or she can carry forward the accrued but untaken annual leave for up to 18 months from the end of the leave year in which the leave arises. Employers should note that this decision only relates to the 4-week statutory annual leave under the working time regulations. It does not apply to contractual leave that is in addition to statutory annual leave. If any leave has been taken, statutory leave is deemed to have been taken before contractual leave. Whether contractual leave can be carried over into a following leave year, and if so, for how long, is a matter for the contract of employment. We are now at the halfway mark in our list of the top 10 most significant employment case law judgments for employers in 2015. Counting down the top 5, at number 5 is Chesterton Global Limited, trading as Chestertons, and Noor Mohammed. This case was about whistleblowing. In June 2013, whistleblowing legislation was amended to provide that a disclosure is not protected unless the employee reasonably believes that the disclosure is being made in the public interest. A hot topic at the moment is what counts as being in the public interest, which a disclosure must be to be protected under the whistleblowing legislation. Chesterton and Noor Mohammed was the first appeal case to consider what this means. In its decision, the Employment Appeal Tribunal said that courts and tribunals should apply a liberal approach to this phrase. At number four is Rampal and Department of Transport. This case examined the role HR has to play in disciplinary proceedings and caused the biggest stir of the year amongst HR professionals. In this case, the Employment Appeal Tribunal explained in detail the role of HR in disciplinary proceedings, which is that HR should limit advice to managers conducting investigations and disciplinary procedures to law and procedure and the level of appropriate sanctions with a view to achieving consistency, and that a dismissal will be unfair if the decision to dismiss an employee is improperly influenced by the HR department. We're into the top three, and at number three is Paterson and Castlereagh Borough Council. This is a decision of the Court of Appeal in Northern Ireland concerning the calculation of holiday pay. The judges in the Northern Ireland Court of Appeal stated categorically that voluntary overtime can be included in holiday pay if it is normally carried out and is an appropriately permanent feature of the worker's remuneration. As a Northern Ireland case, this decision is not binding on the courts and tribunals in England, Wales and Scotland. However, it will be cited in holiday pay cases in those jurisdictions and may be persuasive. In the 2014 conjoined cases of Bayer Scotland and Fulton, Hertel UK Limited and Woods, and Amec Group Limited and Law, the Employment Appeal Tribunal ruled that holiday pay must include non-guaranteed overtime, meaning overtime not guaranteed to the employee, but where the employee is contractually obliged to work the overtime when required to do so. The combined effect of these decisions and Paterson and Castlereagh Borough Council is that all overtime payments should be included in the calculation of holiday pay. You might be wondering why Locke and British Gas Trading is not in my top 10 most significant employment case law judgments for employers in 2015. After all, that case decided that commission payments should be included in the calculation of holiday pay. Well, that is because the Employment Appeal Tribunal's decision on the employer's appeal has not yet been given. It is expected by mid-March of this year. At number two is Usdaw and WW Realisation No. 1 Limited in liquidation. This is the decision of the European Court of Justice about redundancy consultations in the Woolworths and Ethel Austin case. It reverses the controversial Employment Appeal Tribunal decision of July 2013 to delete the words at one establishment from Section 188 of the Trade Union and Labour Relations Consolidation Act 1992. The Employment Appeal Tribunal's decision effectively meant that an employer proposing 20 or more redundancies across the whole organisation within a period of 90 days would have collective consultation obligations, even if the number of proposed redundancies at each of its individual sites is fewer than 20. The European Court of Justice decision restored the previous position by finding that collective redundancy consultation is triggered only when 20 or more redundancies are proposed in an establishment. For a retailer, this is likely to mean a single store. At number one, the most significant employment case law judgment for employers of 2015 is... European Court of Justice decision in Federación de Servicios Privados del Sindicato Comisiones Obreras and Tyco Integrated Security SL. The most important judgment in 2015 concerned what counts as working time for itinerant workers such as travelling salespeople and call-out engineers. The European Court of Justice held that where a worker has no usual place of work, time spent travelling from and to home for the first and last customer visits of the day should be counted as working time. It is important to note that this decision applies only to working time legislation and does not impact on pay legislation such as the National Minimum Wage Regulations. There you have my top 10 most significant employment case law judgments for employers in 2015. All of these decisions were reported and commented on in the breaking news section of My Virtual HR, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk. In the next edition of the My Virtual HR radio show, I will be looking ahead to the most significant employment law issues for employers in 2016, and it looks like being a very busy year. I'm Robert Reddin. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next show.
You have been listening to the My Virtual HR radio show. Today's show was written and presented by Robert Reddin. Music was by Kevin MacLeod. My Virtual HR, affordable outsourced HR support. For more information, visit our website, www.myvirtualhr.co.uk.